Hello, 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 everybody. It's Stefan coming in your ears. Oh, God, no. That's way too aggressive. But hey, guys, I really am coming in your ears right now. And I just wanted to say, it's never felt so good. Thank you for allowing me in there. I really appreciate it. And you guys are going to have a good time, too. Don't worry. So while we're all settling in, getting comfortable, buckling up for this adventure, I just wanted to give you guys a little taste of our special guest today. Today, we're going to have Ben Palitzi. And oh boy, do we bro out. If you guys haven't had a good bro sesh lately, you're in for a good one. So Ben and I, we talk about how he got into stand-up, his approach into it, which was pretty unique, actually. And this guy, he's so smart. He's also got this science to be able to make videos go viral, test them out, get a check to see if they're going to be funny or not. And so we talk a little bit about that because he's amassed hundreds of thousands of followers across Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, etc. He's a really funny guy. We just have a great time overall. We talk about him. I talk about one of the funniest videos I think I've ever seen online, which was from him, where he interviewed this guy that I think, you know, looking back on it, is a big tweaker, but it was hilarious. So I'm glad he captured that. And then just one last thing. Thank you again for listening. This brings my heart joy, and my heart continues to flourish from all the subscriptions, all the telling of your friends and telling your family, your grandma, your aunts, your stepdad. Yeah, even stepdads listen to this because it's that cool. And also leaving a review. Guys, if you're on Apple Podcasts, go ahead and smash those 5 stars. Say something. I'll read it. I'll go on here and read it. Don't you worry. I'll read it. But no, seriously, thank you guys so much. Love you guys. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode.
A comedy advice podcast.
An advice podcast for Stefan
and friends.
Make exaggerated statements not meant to be taken literally.
What was that, Stefan?
A comedy advice podcast.
Oh, you got to do the intro. You got to do the intro. All right, yeah. Rip it, bro.
I've been wondering if it should just be a cold open or if I'd need to do an intro, because I've been doing an intro for like 140 episodes, but maybe I'll try cold open.
I love doing the easy open because it like, well, me and you are experienced with podcasts, but when you have a guest on that's never been on a podcast, it makes them nervous. So I always just like ease into it like that.
Dude,
we're recording? And I'm like, yeah, man. It just sounds more natural. That's just like something I've noticed from doing podcasts. You can try it with me. I don't care.
That's a great tip, man. I love hearing tips like that as we're on a comedy advice podcast with your host, Stefan Satani. We've also got a very special guest.
That was smooth, bro. I was like, he's doing it.
I saw the opportunity and I just went for it.
Bro, that was honestly nasty. I'm intimidated by you.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Well, anyway, we've got a very special guest today. This guest, I'm going to announce him. He's a rising star in the stand-up, crushing it in India and beyond. You can see him on the gram, Twitter, TikTok, alongside Joey Molinaro, making faces or just being plain hilarious in his solo videos. He's got a hilarious podcast with a name to match the vibe, Espresso. Everybody, welcome Ben Palitzi.
What's up, man? You did your research. That bio was like pieced together well.
Dude, I really...
like, you know my whole life.
Yeah. So when you were 6 years old, you moved from Milwaukee to Indiana. And
wait, did you make that up, dude?
I was going to try and make up a fact, but I think I actually heard that on a podcast that you were on. So I think that might actually be true. Hopefully it's
close.
Hopefully it's not coming across as creepy. I don't know that many facts about you.
Everything's creepy anyway, so whatever. I'm over it.
But dude, it seems like you are just this successful shining star, and I'm so glad to be blinded by your light and joining me on this podcast.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
That's so cool to hear. I'm one day, but right now I'm just doing whatever it takes, you know, just like you.
Dude, yeah, just grinding, hairstyling. That should be a song. But dude, I was gonna tell our audience the way that I found out about you is on Instagram, and I don't even know how I stumbled. Sometimes your thumb just takes control and you just keep scrolling. And then I stopped because I saw this video. I usually don't even have audio on because I just blindly go through or deftly go through, I guess. Man. But I was watching this video with you and Joey where you guys were doing this work from home bit, and your faces, the faces that you made were cracking me up without audio. So I had to listen to it again with the audio. Dude.
That's so funny, man. I never thought I'd be like the face guy. Like when we go into those characters, like that's just what me and Joey worked at the same place. So we always made fun of people in the break room that would just like senselessly talk about stuff like for no reason. And they'd always be like, what do you think? And we'd be like, dude, like you don't even care. And that's just like how we got those characters. And we just like exaggerated the shit out of it. And I don't know. It just hit somehow. And that's that video you saw, I'm pretty sure.
Yes. Yes.
Wild.
Oh my God. I've seen that you've done a couple of them too, which is, it's just like, once
like
I stumbled,
bread and butter now.
Well, and once I stumbled across, I hit this vein of delicious gold. And then I saw on your feed, it's just an endless number of videos that are just scrumptious, snackable. So I was there for an hour and I was like,
thanks, bro. Those adjectives, have you been like up in the thesaurus? Now this is getting a little creepy.
Oh my God. I actually, this is my secret. I just watched with my wife because we get to watch. Well, there's what I want to watch and what she wants to watch. So we compromise and watch what she wants to watch. And so we ended up watching this fucking Anne with an E on Netflix. And this little redheaded girl has this expansive vocabulary. And I was like, I'm not going to be one-upped by this little redheaded orphan. So I want to up my vocab game. So yeah. Got scrumptious in there. That's pretty much it.
I feel you, dude. It's nice. It was nice. It made sense.
Yeah. Oh,
but yeah,
God.
Man, that's all I try to do is just, especially at a weird time like this where we can't like get on stage and stuff. I'm like, well, everybody's just on their phones. So why not just push out some content? And it really is a push. Like a lot of stuff I do doesn't land. No, the stuff you've seen land is the stuff on my page. So that's kind of where. Well, all those videos you're talking about, that's kind of like how that all goes down.
Dude, I was going to ask about that too. I feel like I'm saying dude so many times, but I just feel...
Oh, just... Me and you are such bros. Look at our hair. We can say dude as much as we want, dude. We have a dude card. You know what I mean? You can't... Like, you can take whatever you want from me. You're not taking the word dude from me.
So... Anyway, something pushing like out content, and I was going to ask, because you said what you have on your feed is what stuck, what just really got there. It sounds like you've got stuff that's also flopped, which we've all been there, but how do you, do you have a feeling before you push it live? Are you like, I'm not sure about this, or is it just kind of luck of the draw from your experience?
Sometimes it's really lucky. Sometimes I'll put videos on my story just to gauge it, like, I don't know if this is that funny. Maybe people don't know what I'm talking about. And I'll put it on my Instagram story and I can see how many reactions and shares there are. And if there's a ton of shares, I'm like, oh shit, I'm going to post it. Cause that's kind of like a way you can gauge if it's going to hit or not. But I put out a video yesterday about like a Skip It toy, like a 90s toy. Do you remember that? Did you see that video?
I did.
And like, throughout the day, I was like, I want to post this today, but I just don't know if it's like there yet. And it was still funny, but it just wasn't there. And then I took like some time throughout the day and I kept rewatching it and I like added a line and then added a line at the end. And I was like, that's where it needs to be. And then I posted it. So when I get that feeling like, I don't know if it's there yet, it's usually not. And there's a little bit something that just needs to be tweaked a little bit to make it like prime time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's funny that we're talking about like a 30-second video like that, but like it's kind of my life now. So.
Well, and it's cool because you also it also shows that there's a science behind it, where it's a lot of people think that it's just this magical, mystical thing, but like you were saying, how you test things out in your stories. You're also piecing together the videos just to make sure that it, you've got the lines in there and those things that make it funny. Right. All the right ingredients. It's almost like baking a cake, you know, if you don't have the right ingredients.
Like I've done some one-off videos where there's no like writing or editing like that. And those are just, that's just some lucky shit. Like you can't just pop out like 10 lucky videos in a row. Like you got to have some kind of formula, I think.
Yeah. And by the way, I will affirm that that Skip It video is hilarious. It's a little bit of a wait for it. It captivates you or draws you in. And then right after the scene where it zooms, where it's like, oh, you can count how many times you skip. And then you hit your shin and it's like, it'll smack the shit out of your shin. And it just shows you throwing it across the lawn. I lolled on that one. I literally lolled.
Thanks, man.
It was good.
It was something different at the end. And then I went back and just threw it to the moon, man, because I just, I don't know, it was just a feeling thing. Like it wasn't supposed to end like that at all. I've been sitting on that video for like 2 weeks, just like going back and forth. It's so stupid.
I was going to ask, do you have director's cuts or do you have these different variations of videos where it's like an alternate ending?
Oh, I mean, yeah, but they're just like not as good. I mean,
oh, go ahead.
All my alternate endings are like lame as shit. Like nobody would want to see them. But like there's been plenty. And I'm like, I wonder if that would work at the end. Like with those Office Guy videos that me and Joey do that, we always debate on the ending whether it should be like a close-in zoom of one of our faces or like just... And there's a lot of alternates for those because we laugh at the end of those so hard and long. Like there's been a lot of funny, like very zoomed in, like face shots that like we just say, nah, too much. And then we just move off. I don't know.
I was going to ask and I might have an idea for you since this is a self-help podcast. Do you make a lot of money off of the content that you're making?
No. I really don't make any money. It's just kind of like self-promotion, really. Like, I kind of did that. I started making videos and stuff on the internet to sell because I was going into stand-up. And I was like, how am I going to get people out to shows if they don't think I'm funny? If I'm just like randomly, hey, I'm doing stand-up, like, it's like, what? But if I have like some momentum behind it, like, oh yeah, he's been making those videos. Let's go see him do stand up. That's kind of the reason I started doing it. And yeah. Now it's just kind of like to get people out to shows and stuff. Just so that, oh yeah, I saw that guy on the internet. Let's go see, he's performing on Friday. Let's go see him. Like that's, without the videos, like, I don't know who would even know if I existed. Something like that. But the money making part really comes from this app called Cameo. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yes.
That's where if I make any money off any stuff I've done online, it's because of that. And I put out like a story yesterday and I put it on Twitter that was like, send someone a personalized shout out from Johnson, that Office Guy character. And like, I got like 8 new cameos right away because people just like that dude. And they just want to, you know, yo, my buddy's a Yankees fan and a FSU fan. Can you do a shout out from Johnson? Like put some beer puns in there. Like that's what they'll say. And I'll just have to like whip out a quick little video and I get paid for it. So that's like, that's all the revenue I really get.
Oh, that might be even better than my suggestion. Cause I was going to say, if you don't have a Patreon, get on Patreon and do Johnson videos, or even do like, you could have a collaborative where you're like, hey, here's a video that I was thinking of the alternate ending or different versions of it, where if they're not as funny,
that's a good idea.
And then you could be like, here's the spectator tier or audience tier, and then here's the creative director tier, where if you pay extra with post videos, and then you guys can provide creative input, and then if we actually take
oh my god, man, that would be life-changing. I need to mess with Patreon a little more. Like I need to do something with that. It's just so much work, man. Everything is so much work. I'm like,
I know, I love how I'm coming to you with all these ideas and I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, it'll only take 400 hours. So just put it together.
Everything takes a day now. I'm like, what? It sucks, but it's always worth it in the end. So yeah, I'll probably do that like tonight.
Nice. And so I was going to ask, because you mentioned that you started with these videos and started to build some social clout for your intro into stand-up comedy, which I also think is very smart because that's not something that I did. And that's not something that a lot of people that I know in the Phoenix stand-up comedy scene have done either. So I think it's...
Oh man, I've been wanting to hit that up. I've been wanting to hit up Phoenix for some stand-up. It sounds awesome.
It's a lot of fun. There are a lot of venues there or here. And I think everyone is also pretty chill in the Phoenix area too. So you can hop on shows and different things like that. I don't really do it anymore because I'm trying to focus more on podcasting. So I've stopped stand-up as much. It's a lot of fun, but it's also a lot of work.
The most work ever. I think it's the hardest thing to do, man. It's just so crazy to think about that we do that all the time. Like, that's a ton of pressure you're putting on yourself every night. It's crazy.
Seriously. And I was going to ask, what were the differences that you found between video? Because video, you can get responses. I guess you can get them pretty instantly, too, if someone's like, oh, this blows. But with comedy, it's really instant and it's right there, where if you say something that's not funny, you don't get a laugh. Or even sometimes if you say something that's funny, but it's not to the right audience, you don't get a laugh.
Yeah.
And so what was it like going into stand-up comedy from doing videos? What did you sense that was different?
Like when I first started stand-up, my stand-up was probably like my podcast, where I'm just like talking about like more like personal stuff. That's funny, but it's not funny to like, you know, 50 people standing in front of me funny. You know what I mean? Like, so doing stand-up comedy helped me like be more relatable to other people. Like it helped me learn how to do that. And that's, and like right before we were in quarantine, I started getting like, I think I became a little bit better of a writer. And then, but I mean, that all went to shit since I haven't done stand up in like 3 months. I'm like, shit, I don't even know how to write a joke anymore. But yeah, just having that instant reaction of like a total random group of people, it helped me become more relatable, and like everything got a lot tighter, like my jokes, where it's just like bang bang, instead of in the beginning it'd just be like, you know, just a longer version. Like it'd be a whole sentence I didn't need in there that was like random and like just drowned the joke kind of.
Yeah.
It just, yeah, you just learn how to relate to the audience a little better, I think.
Yeah.
That whole answer I gave was like my jokes when I started stand up. Like the biggest lead in and like the most invaluable punch. But yeah.
Well, you're on brand. You're on a podcast, so we can open up.
Yeah. Oh, nice, nice, nice.
And speaking of your podcast too, I do want to talk about it, cuz when I got into it, so I first found out through the gram, and then I started learning more about you. So then I started listening to the podcast, and this was the point where Joey was gone. So it was just you.
Yeah.
And I gotta admit, when I listened to podcasts where it's only one person, I'm like, skip. But I listened to three or four of your episodes, and they're so, I still can't define it. Or articulate the nectar that you have, that you're squeezing from this podcast. But it is just so good, dude. It's you've got jokes, you're singing.
Thank you, man. Oh, that means so much, bro. That hits my soul, because that's just me bullshitting for so long.
Bro,
when somebody likes that, bro, we're friends forever. That's it. We're forever.
No, I really like it. I like how, well, you're the whole thing is you're funny, but then also what I like about it is you've got these little moments of these bursts of energy, or I'm guess it reminds me of the name, it's like espresso, you're like, ah! And then you just start singing, and then you also go back to stories of your childhood, which makes me think I'm a moron because I feel like I forgot a lot of the stuff that happened to me as a kid. And you're talking about when you went to the dentist and you're sucking on the assistant's thumb and shit like that. And I'm like, oh my God, I there are these foggy memories of me kind of being there. So it's like this splash of nostalgia where I'm like,
I remember
being a kid a little bit too.
I don't remember a lot about being a kid. It's just those moments where like, it's just undeniable. Like that dentist thing, man, I'll never forget that. We went to the dentist. Like I've been to the dentist like 2 times in my life and I just swallowed all of that fluoride, bro. And it was like, I can't forget that. I had to bring it up. It was so gross.
Oh my God. Oh, but yeah, it's a great podcast and it's highly entertaining being a podcast that's a solo, because I've listened to a lot. Being a podcaster that either listens to podcasts and tries to do their research and listen to other people doing podcasts, I usually have me plus one other me and guests, but I usually like three, because I feel like three is a nice number for there's extra laughter if somebody doesn't think that what I'm saying is funny, the other person might. So you get a balance of laughter and all that shit. But I think you by yourself, I think you keep yourself entertained too, which is also entertaining to the audience. But then it's also, I kind of feel like I'm there. And then it reminds me a lot of some of the thoughts that I have, which are, you said in stand-up, you're finding yourself more relatable to people. Maybe this is a reflection of that. And then maybe this is a mix of there's some out there stuff, but then there's some also relatable stuff. And I think even some of the out there stuff, when it relates, I'm like, oh, it hits hard.
Yeah, that's like my whole stand-up. That's like my niche in stand-up is like the stuff that like you think about, but you never really said. Like that's kind of like that's what makes me laugh so hard. And to the point where I don't even care if the audience thinks it's funny. You know what I mean? Like it makes me laugh so hard. Like they have no, like if you don't laugh, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like that shit's funny. But like that kind of stuff. That kind of stuff kills me. So thanks for bringing that up. But it is like the solo, like I was intimidated the first time I did a solo podcast. Like it was the hardest thing I've ever done. It was like going to like a really, really, really bad open mic or something. It was like, and I made the mistake of going live on TikTok and Instagram for my first solo podcast. And it was, dude, I was sweating. Like, you know when you sweat on stage, like when you're nothing's hitting? Like, that was the podcast. I was like, okay, I got to take a break.
Boop. Like, oh, no.
It was bad. But, like, I did. I don't know. I just kept doing them and doing them. And I'm about to do one today. But it just you just got to get the hang of it like anything. And it basically has turned into, like, a 50-minute open mic. Because it's hard to get out your bits and stuff.
Yeah.
Without getting on stage. So I'm kind of treating it as an open mic and just if somebody hits me back about like whatever I said that like kind of was relatable, even if I start laughing, I'm like, I should write that down and try to like craft it for the stage or something like that.
That's awesome. I was about to ask about that too, because a lot of people, they might do daily writing and then try and take some of those thoughts that they might be able to dig into a little bit more. But with you, if you've got this solo podcast, if you listen back and you're like, oh, that's a good thought, I could dive deeper into that. That might be just as efficient or even more efficient than the daily writings.
Yeah, I try to do both. And it helps. Writing helps so much, man. It is so crazy. Like, I don't feel right. I don't feel normal if I don't get like an hour in of writing. And sometimes that hour of writing is like the most dreadful hour of all time. And I'm sure you have gone through that. But like, if I don't do it, it's just like, I feel weird the whole day.
Yeah.
It's like not taking a shower or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't feel right.
God, do you get it in the morning then?
I try to do it before noon. But like some days are messed up and I don't end up writing till like 9 p.m. Like it sucks. Like having it, because like once you get done writing, like for comedy, your brain is in like comedy mode and then you're kind of hitting all day. And especially when you have a show at night, it's best to do first thing in the morning, but I always feel like I need to work out or some shit. And I don't really end up doing it till like before noon, like probably like 11.
Damn. But
yeah, that's my
but you
strategy.
Do it. you've got that discipline.
Have to, man. Or else I feel like I'm like letting myself down. I'm like, what am I? I didn't write. And then the next day I write for like 3 hours. probably write down one thing on the paper, but I did it for 3 hours.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. I watched this video on YouTube because that's where all my self-help comes from. And I saw this video about the 2 minute rule, where if you're creating a habit, what you tell yourself is you do 2 minutes of it a day. And so whether it's playing piano, working out, writing, the idea of 2 minutes worth of writing is so much less daunting than an hour worth of writing. So if you do it for 2 minutes, then you can lean into, and you actually do it for an hour, but you're just tricking your mind into doing it. So I told my wife, I was like, yeah, that's how I tricked myself into flossing. Cause I would just say, I'm going to floss 4 teeth. And then I'd end up doing the whole thing. And she was like, you're a disgusting animal. You never flossed before? And I was like, no comment, but.
Yeah. I'm with you on that, bro.
So.
Flossing is tough. Do you floss every night though?
Dude, well, I floss twice a day. Cause now I had that Invisalign.
Oh, you're psycho.
Bro, don't mean to flex, but yeah. Well, the reason is because I'm terrified I might lose my teeth to some decay or some shit because I had the Invisalign. So now I have in the back 4 teeth, I have that permanent kind of wire. So I have to it's not just a traditional floss. Now I got to like get in there like a fucking octopus through an aquarium glass. Just like, So I got to, I have to be very, it's time consuming. So
you have to do it. That day you probably didn't do it, man. You were probably so messed up. That's what I feel like when I don't write. Like the day you don't floss, that's what I feel like when I don't write. I'm like, wow, I'm all like weird. I'm like saying the wrong thing to the wrong people. It's just, I come off like rude or something. You know what I mean? It's just weird.
Yeah. Gums are numb, start bleeding. It's rough, man. It's rough. By the way, before I think we've exhausted the questions. You've been a fascinating guest for the interview part, by the way.
Dude, you can keep asking. You can keep it. How long have we been on? Like an hour?
We've been on 34 minutes.
Oh. Yeah, man. Let's get it. Whatever you want to ask.
I was going to ask one more thing. I was going to ask about because I think I've seen this video probably 10, 15 times, and it might be one of the funniest videos I have seen on Instagram. It's the one that you posted. I think it's an old one from a year ago, but with that, I don't know if he's homeless. I want to know the story about it, but you're interviewing this guy and you're basically asking him you're singing a song and you're asking him what the rest of the lines are. I couldn't understand what he was saying the first four times.
Oh, bro. It was so funny. Like me and Joey just went around like I'm like 10 feet away from that spot where that interview happened right now. Like we work downtown Indianapolis. There's like a circle. And there's a monument in the middle of the circle, and we work right there. So we went out there and we just interviewed people to see if they knew like that song I was singing. I don't even know the song. I'm an idiot, but we were just like asking people to finish the lyrics. And he was like, we were just looking for people that would like be fun to interview. And I was like, what about that dude? He's like, he had like one sleeve rolled up and like one pant sleeve rolled up. He didn't look like super homeless. He just looked like he had a dude card, you know what I mean? Like us.
Yeah.
I was like, he might be okay. Let's do it two more times. Let's get this guy in one of them.
Oh,
and I
God.
Went up to him. I was like, what's up, dude? And he was just like, oh, what's up? And I was like, this. And I kept kind of looking at Joey during it, like, should we keep rolling? Like, is this dude, like, is this too weird? Like, are we going to get in trouble? Or like, we like exposing him? And Joey's like, go, 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 go. So, dude, we just leaned into it. And it was so funny. His name's Kyle. Like, that video kind of went viral in Indianapolis. And people were like, oh, my God, we got to find this guy. Like, people were dying to know who he was. And he said Indiana land at the end. It like kind of stuck. Like, we made t-shirts that said Indiana Land on them, and we sold them. Like, that dude, for real. And somebody was like, yo, Kyle's my ex-boyfriend from eighth grade. And they showed me like his Facebook. And dude, it was so funny. I was like, that's so Kyle.
Oh my God.
Like, I know him.
Oh,
but yeah, dude, people see me all the time and be like, hey, I saw Kyle walking around downtown. You should interview him again. Just shit like that. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad to know he's still alive.
That is
but
so
yeah,
funny.
Man, that was crazy as hell.
Oh my God.
Lucky.
Yeah, no, that was really good. I just so many questions about
it. I didn't do anything. We really just got super lucky, and I just asked him to sing.
That is hilarious.
And he happened to be super fried that day, so that was even better.
I was gonna, because he obviously gave off the homeless vibes, but then he looked like he had some semblance of hygiene, because I don't know if he flossed
right.
per se, but he had all his teeth. He looked
yeah
fine aesthetically, yeah, we and then the voice just was like, I'm fine. How are you? I can't even do it.
I know, you're pretty good. My dude Joey, who does all the impressions, can do a really good Kyle. Like, he's good at it.
Nice.
But he didn't look like super homeless, so we were like, let's talk to him. But he ended up being just a superstar, man.
That's hilarious. Oh man, maybe you guys should get him a Kyle t-shirt, or what was it? Indiana Land.
We should definitely give him a shirt. Definitely. But I saw him like a month later, and I was like, oh, that's Kyle. And then I got my phone out, and I was like, I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to top that one. Like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to pull like a Tarzan 2, you know what I mean? Where like nobody goes to see it. Like, Tarzan's an all-timer. Like, Tarzan 2, I don't know, dog. Like, I just kind of want to keep it where it is.
Yeah, even Phil Collins was like, not going on that one.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Exactly.
Well, the questions will keep flowing, but we'll intertwine them with some of the self-help. So we're going to move into the self-help portion of the podcast where we self-help the helpless. So we're going to go on to that section. And before we get into all the self-help, we're going to stay on the surface level a little bit and fuel ourselves with an inspirational quote. Now, before I furnish our inspirational quote that we've been provided, do you have any inspirational quotes that help get you through your days?
Oh man, I have one, but I always mess it up. Okay. If you want to change things in a big way, you got to make big changes. That's my quote.
Oh,
if you want to change things in a big way, you got to make big changes.
I like that.
That's all I got. Dude, that one speaks to me. It's actually from Creed 2. Sylvester Stallone says it, and Sylvester Stallone reminds me of my dad, low key. So it feels like my dad's telling me that.
For a second, when you said it, Creed 2, I thought you said it was from Creed the band, two, and I was like, oh, I didn't know we had a Creed fan. Well, thanks for your time, Ben. We're going to have to go now. So,
Creed, dude. I forgot all about Creed. They kind of went hard like in the 2000s, right? Like 2002?
Big time. Arms wide open. I mean, I don't know their songs, but I used to be a little bit of a fan. When I was learning guitar, one of the first songs I learned was that... hold me down, I'm 6 feet from the edge, and that gravelly voice that just aggravates your ear holes was just very pleasant to me. I loved it.
Yeah, not from the band, from the movie. But if it was from the band, that'd be even better.
Yes, I think you'd be the first one to get an inspirational quote from Creed. No, I mean, I think this is what I think. If Creed if the lead singer drank some green tea or something and soothed his voice to be less gravelly and more less Pearl Jam like, I think if he had a different voice, it wouldn't be as bad.
Nope. Oh, it wouldn't be as bad. I don't think it would be as good.
Oh. Oh. Okay. All right.
Like that's why I think they were popping because it was very unique, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Like his voice was so like, oh, that's Creed. You know what I mean? Like you know what it is when you hear it. You don't have to look at the song or whatever.
That's true. The usual reaction is, oh, that's Creed. Okay. they were unique. Yeah. That is very true. All right. So that's a great inspirational quote. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it. We've got an inspirational quote too that we're going to try and decipher, and it's going to fuel us to be able to help with the rest of the self-help. This quote comes from InspiroBot, which is an AI-driven machine, a robot that takes some of the most wisest words, mashes them together, and then it provides us with a very juicy quote that provides us with wisdom and nourishment. All right, this week's quote. If you can't rise above her, you can't sit on her.
I saw that in the notes, and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, what did you think, by the way? Because I send over the agenda. There's not too much context about it. So it just looks like this beautiful picture, very picturesque. And then it has this quote that is just utter nonsense. Were you like, what did I sign up for? What were your thoughts?
No, that's actually like a perfect way for me to view that. More people would probably need more information, but I was like, that's all I need right there. Like, I don't know what we're going to talk about with that, but like, that's good. Like, perfect.
I love it. So I was going to say, we usually look for the metaphors here, but I'm not really seeing any. It looks like an overt literal quote here. So if you literally can't rise above her, you can't sit on her. And so I was going to ask, when was the last time you've sat on a woman?
Like literally? Damn. The last time I...
Dude, I wonder what figuratively would be like.
So stupid. Bro, do you really want to know?
We can talk about it. I think the last person I sat on, the last woman I sat on was my mom. I don't... But Why? Let's go into your story.
God damn it. Okay. All right. So this... Oh my God. All right. So... damn, man. Okay. So, we're in this period of, after my freshman year of college, like I played football. The guys on the football team have to take like a spring term class. I don't know if this is a normal thing, but we're staying in our dorm like for like 5 extra weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody in the whole dorm, but like me and a couple other dudes. And I'm chilling. There's a couple like people on campus, and there's this girl that's like kind of cute. And I was like, I don't know, like, I don't even if I should go there, you know what I mean? And she ends up like coming over, like, you know, just through some stupid like college, like, yo, we should like watch a movie or like something like that. Like 2010s, like Netflix and chill, like let's Redbox DVD.
Nice.
But like, it wasn't even like that. It was like low pressure. Like, I don't even know if it's like that kind of thing. And mm-hmm. then we were sitting there watching this movie, dude. And like, when I'm in that situation, it's pretty much like I'm on stage, like one-on-one with a girl. Like I'm trying to like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I've been there.
And like pulling out all the tricks and like probably for no return too. But she's like sitting there, and I did something stupid where I was like gonna like, I don't know, she might have like laid down, not like that, but like just like a weird lay. And I kind of cannonballed on top of her, like on some weird shit. I was just like, I'm gonna see, like I'm trying to see what her reaction is. Like maybe she'll think it's funny. Like it's not gonna hurt. And when I landed, it wasn't like a hard land, but like when I like kind of landed, I ripped ass, bro. I farted so. Dude, and like, so I had to not only explain that, like I had to explain why I just like dove on her like I was jumping in a pool, and then like like I couldn't like cover it up. You know what I mean? Like she could hear it, smell it, and I fucking did a cannonball on her. So it was like, all right, well, we broke the ice. Like that was the last time I sat on a girl.
Well, here's the question. Did it work? Or was she like, I gotta go?
I mean, it worked because it was so fucked up. It worked. Like she was like, all right, fuck it. You know, there's no, we're not holding back anything now, obviously. So, yeah.
Wait, and you didn't try that again? It seems like the success rate from the first one is so good. Fuck the arm around the shoulder. Dude, just cannonball her and rip one.
That timing, bro. It's never going to happen again. You know, you just can't, some things you can't replicate. Like, and it was unexpected. The unexpected factor was just like, even I was like, oh shit.
Oh God. Well, thank you for sharing. Yeah. That was a beautiful story. Shout out to that girl, whoever that was, for taking it like a champ.
Dude, her name's Annie. Were you talking about a girl named Annie earlier on this?
I was. Yeah. Hair? Did she have red hair?
No, she doesn't have red hair, but this podcast is just hitting, bro. This is hitting. We're like throwing it. We have like 4 callbacks so far.
Do you want to be my new co-host? I mean, the other ones didn't even show up to this. Let's just make this happen.
It'd be fun. Let's do it.
Nice. All right.
Back to the quote. I think there's something there. I mean, if you don't think about it literally, what was it one more time? What was it again?
If you can't rise above her, you can't sit on her.
Okay. It's weird that they're talking about a girl there, but if it was talking about, like, I don't know, your goals or something, you know, something like that, I can roll with that. I get it.
No.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point. I mean, in some languages, there's a masculine and a feminine, so maybe InspireBot was saying that goals, in this case, are feminine. And so you have to rise above your goals to then cannonball and rip a metaphorical fart into your goals to crush them. And then
I think
succeed.
We just cracked that code.
Cracked.
Us, we cracked
one InspireBot, like 4,000 from the other.
Who's
episodes.
The robots now? Yeah.
Well, great. I think we can move on. I feel like we've successfully cracked the code. So we're going to go into a question. Now, we've got a question. This first one is from Reddit. It was found by our dear fan, Stephanie. Thank you, Stephanie. Now, I'm going to read it. It says, my teenage daughter is constantly humming. My daughter, 15, has been a hummingbird for the past 2 years. She stops once she's around people, but at home, she's constantly humming. It's sweet at times, but also quite repetitive. With quarantine, she's always at home with nowhere to go, and she hums to herself the entire day. This humming usually consists of the same 30 seconds of a song that she repeats for hours. I've gently reminded her of her noise levels, and she's not the only person in the house, but a few minutes later, the humming returns. Any advice? Sincerely, humbuddy, help me. I question if our guests are going to appreciate the puns, but with what I've seen from your videos, I thought that would sink in nicely. So
I hate puns, but I'm a sucker for that shit. Like when they're put in the right, when you frame it right, like, cause you're act like you can't get on stage and be Mr. Cool Comedian and say a pun, but when you're acting dorky and you say a pun, like you just were, like it works.
Oh, there you go. There you go. By the way, quick, let's go back into interview mode. So Ben, tell me, as a comedian, You've got a lot of elements here. You've got the dork factor, but then you've also got like the athletic, very handsome, charming factor. What mixture of all of those do you use on stage? And this is why I'm going to ask. I feel like you have to be likable by the audience, right? And so, and I'm also going to turn on the compliment shower. Sometimes I do that, try to get our guests a little wet, but
thanks.
You're very handsome compared to a lot of comics too. Usually comics aren't of the Ben Polizzi variety, but you're like a handsome guy, you're charming, blah, blah, blah. And so some people in the audience might be like, fuck that guy. He's what,
yeah.
Like, maybe not me, for example. I wouldn't definitely be jealous of you, but other people might be like, oh, that guy, fuck that. I don't want to laugh at his jokes because he's smart, talented, and funny, too, on top of all of this.
I've been kind of battling that for a little bit, but I just got to come off as like, oh, I feel this. Like, you, I got to relate to him. Like I just got to relate to the people that are going to be like spiteful or something like that. Like, I just gotta be as likable as possible. So they like look over the fact that maybe they're jealous or something. Like I try to win them over the whole time, 5 minutes of just straight up winning them over, bro. And then by the end of the show, like some big macho dude will come up to me and be like, bro, what you said up there is exactly what I was thinking. And I was then like, that's the moment where I'm like, that's why I do this right here. Like, when you can win over like a group of people you don't think you can win over, like, it's the best feeling ever for me.
Oh, that's awesome. I got to see a couple clips. I saw one of your, I think it was a tryout for a festival, where your first joke, it was going in there, it was talking about sports, and you were like, anything that you say in sports is like something your mom would say. And you make these comparisons, yeah, like, dude. No. You block a shot, no.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, you do a good job of paying attention to the whole crowd, and then you add an element of silliness in it where it makes you likable.
Thanks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because that joke, that might be one of my best jokes, because moms are like, all right, like, I can get with this. And dudes are like, oh, he's talking about sports. Like, let's see where this goes. And then like you add some relatability, like kind of goofy stuff in there. And it's just like, I think it's a win. Like, I'm still tweaking that joke because, you know, but you know how it goes. But yeah, I think that might be one of the best ones I have. I always keep that in the deck just in case it all goes to shit.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you were like, oh, I got laid the other night or something, people would be like, of course he did, blah, blah, blah. But if you, I mean, maybe you could be like, well, I was over at a girl's place and I cannonballed her and drilled one into her at the same time. Well, you'd have to
That might be something I could work in. That might be it. Because you don't see that fart coming. You're like, what is this cannonball going to do? And then the fart is like, bro, why did you do that? Like the worst game of all time.
Oh, God. I'm just glad
like,
it was
not
just
smooth, bro.
I'm just glad you'd farted and it didn't make a splash, literally.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
I should warn you with the puns that I have. It's dangerous. It's not.
No, it's working, man. It's hitting for me. I'm actually like taken back a little bit. You've had
usual.
Like four. I'm like, does he know that that just made so much sense? Like,
all right, let's go back to this Hummer. So, did you had a sister, father, mother? Did you ever have a problem with humming? I feel like you would be the Hummer,
bro. This is so on point. This is crazy. I hate how much that I like this subject, but dude, my sister growing up, my older sister was like, you know how I was talking about at the beginning of this podcast, like I got a new laptop and all the little dings and message notifications keep making noise and I can't stand it.
Yeah.
Like, I've got something weird about that. And my older sister's even worse. So if we like were chewing loud at the table, my older sister would be like, she'd like be straight up like stop, like right there. So we had no chance of whistling, humming. If we made any noise like that, somebody in my family would just be like, are you serious right now? And then I would never do it again. So like,
damn.
That's how that went down in my house.
Damn.
Like, even when my dad, when my dad's like ringtone goes off now, I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, so humming doesn't stand a chance. Like, even like, I'd have roommates in college, and one of my roommates in college would always just be whistling and shit in the kitchen. I'd just be like,
oh my
God. Like, I don't want to be rude, but like, bro, you've been whistling for like 2 hours. Like, what?
Whistling is the worst. And I remember when I went, I spent a summer in Italy and was teaching kids English, and there was this other camp counselor, and he was actually a phenomenal whistler, but that's the That's like the worst thing to be the best at, because it had that kind of that timber to it, and it was like it sounded like a Snow White dwarf just whistling.
Exactly what you're talking about. Like, how evil of a person do you have to be to learn how to whistle like that?
I was like, this asshole has been whistling so much in his life. He's just been racking up hours whistling that he's actually good at. He could probably be on America's Got Talent or something. But it's so annoying. Yeah. It's even more annoying. Because then I don't know. It brings this cheeriness that...
It's like, now you're annoying. You're annoying and you're showing off. Like, dude.
Right.
You're the worst person I know. You're Satan now. Sorry, you are. I don't make the rules.
Oh my god, imagine if that's what hell is like, just everybody whistling all the time.
Oh my god.
That's their torture for you. Just whistles.
That really would be mine. Oh my god, that's so annoying to think about.
But anyway, for the mother, I'm thinking maybe noise-canceling headphones, because kids use that to drown out their parents all the time. So maybe the mother can just put in some Beats by Dre, and then that should be able to knock out that humming, right?
I don't know, man. Usually when people are humming and whistling, it means they're, like, anxious, or, like, they don't know what to say, or it's, like, awkward. Like, people in the office, back to the break room, they always whistle and hum and shit because it's awkward, because they feel like they need to say something, but they got nothing to say. I hate that. Like, when somebody just, I'm like, bro, we don't have to be talking. It's cool. But like, maybe that's what's going on. Maybe she's like, feels like she needs to say something, or I would talk about it with her first. Because if she puts on those noise canceling headphones and there's like a fire or something, and the mom's just like sitting back watching TV, like that might,
like that. The kids don't even try and touch her. They're like, "Mom, there's a fire. Okay, bye." But I also like, wait, sorry, Karen. I also like your strategy, because mine just goes towards how can I help myself, and then yours is how can I help others, like my coveted child. So I do like that. Talk with them. Maybe hum back if you're feeling uncomfortable. Then you could hum the same thing. Yeah. Then she understands how annoying it is, and then maybe she'll just pick up another nervous twitch. So it's not really getting rid of the nervousness and tension of her, but it's,
and I don't, that's a tough one. It's probably just a phase, honestly, but I don't know. When I'm nervous or anxious or don't know what to say, I sing. I do it a lot on my podcast. Like, I'll sing something while I'm like thinking, and I do that like around the apartment and stuff. I have a roommate, and I'm always like singing church songs that we used to sing when we were like 10 years old. They're just like coming back in my head, and I'm like, hallelujah, hallelujah, like all this shit. Like, and that might be annoying to him, like the humming is to the mom. Like, I don't know. That's a good question. How do you stop somebody from doing something like that? Might just be a phase, hopefully.
Yeah. Last suggestion, maybe a shock collar. That way you give them reinforcement every time they hum.
How do you stop a dog from like barking? You know what I mean? You just have to be like, no, without a shock collar. You just have to keep saying no. She might just have to like throw down the hammer and be like, stop humming.
I like that. Or just be like, no, bad, Julian, bad.
Spit. Yeah.
And when she stops humming, give her a milk bone. I think that's fantastic.
Okay. That's good. That's good. All right. Shit right there.
Beautiful. Thank you. That was great advice. Now, and we've got question two from Reddit, found by our fan Rob. I want to be more sensitive. I want to be able to cry watching a good show. It's happened fewer than 5 times in my whole life, and some of those weren't even due to the show. It was due to shit I was going through. I hear people talk about scenes making them start crying impulsively, and I feel like it's a whole emotion that I'm missing out on. I want to be vulnerable when I watch an emotional show. How do I cultivate the ability to cry when a touchy scene comes on? Sincerely, if at first you don't succeed, cry again.
All right. Oh, that had like a second effect on me, bro. Like it was funny, and then it just struck even deeper, and I almost fell out of my chair. But the best part about that is it wasn't even that funny.
I was going to say, shit. I was like, I think there was a little pain in Ben's eyes when he laughed at that. He was like, God damn.
Yeah, I was like, God damn it. Like it got me. I let it get me.
I don't know why I try for those, because it's as painful for me as it is for them. But then there's this slight satisfaction that I get from the disdain.
There is a little bit. It's like a 30-70 thing where you're like, yeah, the 30% just fucked you up.
Yes. So, so back to the question asker. First off, I'd like to call out, I like how he, I'm guessing it's a he, I'm just going to guess, how he's saying, I want to cry during shows, not in real life, when I'm handling real emotions with real people. It's like, I want to watch This Is Us and just start bawling when Randall find out he's adopted. I don't know if you watch that show, whatever. Another wife show.
I feel it.
So let's go to us. Let's have some personal stories. Ben, have you ever cried during a show or movie? And let's gauge it by the one scene that everybody cries at, The Lion King, when Mufasa gets trampled by a bunch of wildebeests. Because if you don't cry during that, you are soulless.
Ooh, I feel like you know me, bro. I was in the theater. I was in the IMAX. Like before the IMAX was a popping thing, I was in the IMAX with my dad watching Lion King. Like, the biggest screen on earth, and that went down, and I was like, I was so intrigued, but like I looked over and I was like, I was with some other family members and they were crying, and when I see people crying, bro, I'm release the floodgates, bro, it's gone. So yeah, that definitely made me cry. This is funny because I don't ever watch shows. And I kind of branched out and did it because there's been nothing to do for the past 3 months. And I watched Stranger Things and I got hooked, man. Oh. I got hooked on those characters. And at the end, on the last episode, they got me. I kind of forget what happened. I think they all like went their separate ways. And I just something.
One of them,
somebody moved or something.
Somebody. And, well, I don't know if I want to say somebody died. You know what, guys? If you haven't seen Stranger Things by now, it's your fault. Hopper dies, yeah. or it is believed that he dies.
Right. Oh yeah, he gets like captured or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's what got me. And like all the kids, like, you know, I just miss like the first season when they're so like tight knit. Now they have like girlfriends and they're growing up. Shit like that makes me sad. And like that all unfolded, and I was like, damn. And it was the last episode, so I was like, this journey's over. And I just fucking teared up for a little bit.
Oh.
Maybe man. Like 3 minutes. Damn.
God.
And then I started watching the previews for the fourth season, and it gave me a little bit of hope, you know?
Oh, nice. Those tears dried and you were replenished with joy.
Yeah, we're back. We're back. We're back. We're
nice.
Back.
I did cry. Well, let's not say cry. A tear was shed season two of Stranger Things when Bob got destroyed by the flower dogs.
Oh, see, I wasn't really sold on Bob the whole time. I kind of thought something was going on with him. Like he was not on, I don't know. He didn't win
like
me.
Maybe
overall.
He had a sinister side.
I was kind of weary of Bob, like stepdad role. Like, but he came off pretty genuine. And after he got ripped to shreds, I was like, holy shit, I should have given Bob a chance.
You were like, I'm sold. He is a good guy.
Yeah, he's part of the team.
We can fix him. We can fix him. Put him together.
Well, of course, after he dies, I'm like, that was a good guy. That was a good guy.
You know what? I think that's exactly what I said to my wife after he died. I was like, he was a good guy, that Bob. Good guy.
Oh shit. Yeah. That was hard to watch. That was hard to watch.
Yeah. Anyway. So I think though, you touched on this a little bit. Maybe this guy needs to work out his empathy muscle. So you need to start thinking about how other people feel. You said you cry when you see other people cry because you're probably thinking about how sad they are. And so maybe if you start to think about in the shows, oh, why is Simba sad? Because his papa died. by a bunch of wildebeest. That is a sad moment. Think about if that happened to your dad, if he got trampled by a bunch of wildebeests because you had a devious uncle that was trying to take the throne. So I think that if you start to turn it around and put yourself in the eyes of Simba, then you might be able to cry.
No, yeah, he's missing that connection, because that's all I think about. When sad stuff happens in movies and shows, I just relate it to my life, and I'm like, oh, it is sad. So I don't know if he's doing that or not. Yeah. But at the same time, maybe he's just not watching sad enough shows. He's like watching Snoopy and shit, like trying to cry. Like, what the hell?
He's like, why can't I cry in Family Guy? What the fuck?
Hi, Chris. Yeah, come on over here.
He might not be watching the right shows. I don't know.
By the way, I was going to ask, do you, I know Joey can do a lot of impressions. Can you do impressions as well?
Very select few. I need to work on that, because I can do voices. I just can't nail them like he can. He's so good at that, and he's been doing that for so long. It's just so funny to see like just start to surface, because he can do an impression. I'm actually scared to see his impression of me, because it's probably so good.
Oh,
because like we're homies, like we're around each other all the time. Like, wow. It's going to be quite the day.
At least you have a cool voice, though, to be able to do an impression of. I feel like somebody does an impression of my voice, like, hi, my name is Stefan, and I do a podcast, and I think I'm funny. Puns, puns. It's just this very deep...
My voice isn't cool. I sound like a kid Robin or something. You know, like Batman's sidekick. And like all you have to do is sound like Robin and then do that like laugh, and that's you pretty much got the impression, and then say dude all the time and then be like, yeah bro, for real, like that's all you gotta say.
Maybe this is why we felt a connection, because this is the most embarrassing thing I'll ever admit on the podcast, and I just said that I liked Creed, but Robin used to be my favorite. I liked him better than Batman.
Dude, yeah. He does kind of capture your heart a little bit. You're like kind of the underdog getting pushed around, but he always comes through.
I always liked those side characters. Like Blue Ranger was my favorite because ooh, you know
that's
why?
That's me all the way. Side characters, dude.
It's because we realize how much they support the main characters. And I think a lot of people oversee that. They're just drowning in the glory of Red Ranger and White Ranger when he comes up. Jesus. But I think that Blue Ranger brought a lot to the table. He had some good ideas. Sure, he had some glasses that made him look like a bit of a dork that made you want to give him a wedgie. Yeah. But other than that, he was a nice guy.
Yeah, like, and when he does that one little kick or something that like knocks somebody out, you're like, I told you, dude. Like, you give him that like,
yeah,
bro,
yeah, that little look. That's Billy.
Yeah. My analogy for that is, I get it. My analogy for that is like NSYNC grown up, like Justin Timberlake, superstar. But like, don't forget about Jay-Z Shazé, okay? Don't forget.
I forgot. I have to admit, I remember Lance Bass, Joey Fatone, quite the riot. Joey Fatone's hilarious. Yeah. But what was his name? Yeah, Jean-Way Shazé?
JC. His name's JC. He had the part in the middle. Like, he would go off, and I'd be like, is anybody listening to this guy?
Oh my God. Wow. Let's.
Yeah, I always think about that. I'm like, he was pretty good. He was pretty good.
Yeah, he had some solid chops. Oh man. Well, rest in peace, his career. All right. Anything else for this question asker? I feel like we kind of nailed it.
Yeah, I think we got it. Watch a different show, or just relate what's going on in the show to your life. I think we got him covered on that one.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we've reached the end of the podcast, but before we say goodbye, we want to say hello and thank you for listening. Thank you for all the reviews. Thank you for telling your friends. We love seeing those numbers go up, up, up. Cha-ching. We don't make any money from it, but I like the noise, so I'm going to add that. But wanted to give a huge thank you to Ben. Ben, it was awesome to have you on the podcast. What have you got going on? What do you want to promote? Where can people find you? Tell us everything.
Well, right now, the only thing I have going on is like stuff on Instagram, really, I guess. So follow me on there, Benedict Polizzi, BenedictPolizzi. It's long, but whatever. And on the podcast, too, I'm actually, that's what's going on with me today. I got to record that a little later. It's called Espresso. You can find it through my Instagram. It's usually on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and stuff like that. But right now, I'm just kind of, I got to figure out some of the ins and outs with that, and we'll be back on there. But yeah, just everything through Instagram, really. Twitter, Ben Polizzi, TikTok, Benedict Polizzi, and yeah, that's it. It was really fun, man. Thanks for having me.
Dude, this was awesome. And a quick note to the listeners, if you guys are like, oh my gosh, I can't spell Benedict. It's going to be in the show notes. So you can just click right there and then you can follow him wherever you want and you can listen to Espresso. You can go to his website when he has tour dates that are coming up. It'll all be right there. So follow this man. He's hilarious.
Hell yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Well, I think that's all. So I guess we'll say goodbye. We'll talk at you next week. Bye, everybody.
Peace.